happened along the way. I'm not a slave. Provocative title, but one that is obviously meant to achieve a certain shock value, as it were. I'm trying to not mess around with this thing too much here. Let me go back to this.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, so basically, you know, in coping with Christmas, what I've found for those of us who have, you know, to cope with it, what I have found is this. Find something that you really like. You got to, number one, the worries and the hurties and all that, got to give those to the Lord in Jesus' name. Got to hand those over, because there's no point in worrying, because every day is a different day anyway. So we have to, like, hand it over. And you can tell, like, in the pit of your stomach, if you really feel that you're, how can I put this? If you really feel like you're worrying about something, you can feel that in the pit of your stomach. You feel anxiety, an unease or a dis-ease. Apparent cough here, because I think I've been in the rack about 12 hours. I had to park this thing and wedge it between all these trailers and cars and I had to back it in, you know, it's a really big rig, right? And I had all these people, who came out of their little trailers and their RVs and stuff, and they were, you know, their cars are parked all over the place where they shouldn't be parked, leaving little or to no room. But it's okay. We had somebody move. I had to back in, which was a big, big task. Well, they were all gathered to see if I would screw it up. They all came out of the, you know, and we were being stared at by, about 10 people?
And you had a tree also to deal with.
And there was a tree that would have cut the side. Anyway, I did it perfectly and backed in and, had one person have to move their car because it was just like there would be no other way. They were nice enough to move it. And then they all kind of went, you know, disappointed, went back into their little hovels of their trailers and their... And I'm like, well, what did you want to see? A big emergency?
I don't think so, darling.
Or, you know, I mean, it was just one of those things that, got, you know, people were just... And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it's unusual to put a an RV that, you know, probably of this particular size, but at the same time, it's doable. What it proved to me was, you know, I can definitely back up a truck. And, you know, there was another thing yesterday where I had to do went down a wrong road, had to do a U-turn, and this thing couldn't do the U-turn. So I had to unhitch my Jeep. It was already like in a jackknife position, and I'm almost into a fence. And the Jeep just came off the rig, no problem. And Trish moved it out of the way. I backed up slightly and made my turn. Again, it looks pretty hairy, right? It looked bad, but you know, it proved that it's if you know you've got to keep calm and not panic, and you know, find out how to. to get it done. But anyway, I was really pleased with how everything worked yesterday, including being the reason it's so wedged in is because it's kind of like a beach situation, and you know, it's raining, and all these people are just here for this. It's amazing we even got a place, you know. So I'm very grateful that
it was the last one.
The last one, yeah. And so we had to kind of stuff it in there. And prove we could do it, you know, and you know, all kinds of emergencies can happen to people. You can have a tire blowout on the road and be stuck. You can have an electrical thing go down and be stuck. You can be in a rest area and a terrorist could gun you down. You could be, there's a million things that can happen. And so you really have to trust the Lord. But here's the main thing. I'm doing what I do, and I've got this song going with Kelly. That's yeah. She sent me another version of what she had today. I thought it was great, and you'll be getting that. We call it, I think it's called Tempest Blues, and it's got a little bit of blues in it and a little bit of kind of a little progressive rock. It definitely changes up the rules and different things. So that helped me to get a perspective. The danger of backing this thing up into a tree. I came within an inch of it. But I did it on purpose, you know. All that kind of stuff helped to distract me from the, you know, the feeling in the pit of my stomach. Driving through a major storm, through a mountain pass.
A whiteout.
Where it was a complete whiteout, where you couldn't see, like there was a truck in front of us, where you couldn't see. You couldn't see, so you had to put your blinkers or your safety blinkers on. And it's going blip, 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 and you're just inching along, hoping you don't run into anything. And realizing the danger that you're in a big truck, you know, and so that tended to then break me out of all these little distractions I had. In other words, I don't know what I'm worried about. I don't know why there's this thing in the pit of my stomach. I don't know why I'm anxious and worried and all that. I just know that there's been so much time wasted, and that, you know, Yeshua has taught us. Don't worry about anything, because what can it do to change the outcome anyway? It is what it is. I mean, you know, if you worry, then pray if you want to pray. And it's not even like there's anything specific to worry about. It's like I realize that, because every day is a different day with people. So let's say you have relations with a friend and it's not quite good, or something kind of goes against you, and you feel bad, you feel hateful towards someone or something like that, or you feel suspicious that people are going to rip you off or they're going to do something, then I think at that point, nobody can answer those questions. Nobody can resolve your worry. Nobody can reassure you. You can't reassure yourself, and nobody can reassure you. At that point, I still need one more, Jay. At that point, there's only one thing you can do, and that's take it to the Lord and go into that quiet place with the Lord, that Psalm 23 place, and just be quietly with Him and still that mind and still those thoughts and ask the Lord to still. I'm asking Him right now in Jesus' name to still all of this stuff, And when I say get high in the title, I mean, you know, get high meaning get distracted into your whatever it is you do, whatever makes you feel silly or gives you joy. Get out of this worry thing, you know? We worried all the way through the election and beyond. And we worried so much, we had to take it into prayer, almost doubling our prayer time. And there's nothing wrong with doubling our prayer time. But that was the only solution that we had to, you know, some of us being unable to sleep, up late night, wondering, you know, what they're going to do to us. And then realizing the power of the Lord at every single turn thwarted what their evil plans were. You know, to lie, for example, this was regarding the election and the dirty tricks they were trying to pull and, you know, all the cheating and lying. I mean, there may be 10 million votes, actually, from the stats I was reading. There could be as many as 10 million votes that were discounted from Donald Trump, for example, by only Democrats. How many votes did the Republicans steal? The number is at close to zero, as you can imagine, at zero. So what kind of people are these other people? If the Republicans have zero in terms of cheating, and the Democrats have 100% of the cheating, and feel justified in doing so, what kind of people are they? I'm now beginning to wonder if I've been giving a pass to some kind of other species or some kind of thing because, you know, I mean, I don't agree with their policies, but I thought that was all it was, just a disagreement about policy. Now I'm beginning to think there's a character difference and a personality difference and possibly even there's definitely a spiritual difference. But now I'm beginning to think there is some sort of fundamental physical, like a genetic difference. And I can't prove that, you know. Obviously, it's just something I've been pushed more and more to, as I've seen more and more of the news. For example, there are people that actually feel sorry for this shooter, this guy that ran all these people over with a truck in Berlin, and he ran away to Italy, hiding out in Milan. Then they were in a shootout with him, and they shot him. And there are people upset that they shot him. Just like they're upset when this guy stabs 9 people in Ohio State. And then they're all liberals. That, you know, 100%, there's not one, I wouldn't even say conservative, I'd just say there are no common sense people. They're just these left-wing, I don't even know, it's not political, it's beyond political.
Yeah.
It's beyond political. And, they you know, a gay couple runs after Ivanka Trump and her children on a jet blue plane, and she's flying with her kids, and starts screaming at her at the top of their lungs, what an awful, hateful, racist. There's never been any proof that Donald Trump is a racist, ever, except they keep repeating it. I'm starting to see sickness.
Oh, then, that's definitely sick.
Then, you know, the pedophile rings cut both ways, okay? Those cut both ways, right? Human trafficking cuts both ways. That's Republican, Democrat, whatever, conservative, liberal. That it seems to be affecting a certain kind of conservative that are mainly establishment, and you know their base would be the very elite of the world, you know, the globalist type of thing. And then that seems to absorb both ends of the spectrum politically. But then I can't relate to those people either as human beings, because I then wonder, why is it that they get a pass? How come John Podesta is walking around and in the news and just like after those emails? Well, where am I living? What kind of world do I live in? You know, obviously, at this point, it's beyond unfair. No. Unfair is a complete understatement. It's beyond unfair. It's beyond psychotic. It's beyond hell. It's beyond, I mean, fire and brimstone, please, let me have it. Let me have some of that lake of fire. That's starting to look pretty good. And so that's kind of where I'm at with it. I mean, I just can't imagine people hurting children, possibly even murdering them. No one will investigate, though. What kind of hell am I living in? What kind of hell is this? You know, what kind of place celebrates celebrities who hurt children? And who drink blood and stuff. I mean, who in the world would ever support that? no world that I live in that I, you know, could I, even though I had, you know, been exposed, not to, you know, all, I guess I lived in denial because I saw all this stuff when I was a child, at all these people that were trustworthy before their mask came off, and they're all involved in this sick stuff that we've been seeing. Same stuff, by the way, same thing, no different than the Pizza Gates and the rest of it. No different anywhere in the world. No different for thousands of years. No different for thousands of years. What kind of people are those? Why are they given a 100% pass for thousands of years? What kind of place is this that I got born into? If the world that I'm born into is basically a pedophile network, human trafficking network, posing as a country, posing as some sort of civilization, which is a joke. And I see the Catholic Father Dolan out there in New York, and he's talking with Brian Kilmeade on Fox. When I could get a little bit of TV here before the storm took the ongoing storms. We have one after another here lashing Southern California, which is great because we need water here desperately. But I just wonder how they're wandering around, and they got Christmas ornaments in the big church, and are they in New York City? New York City, and they got they're celebrating with what's that flower called that they have? Not holly, but what is it? You know, what are those called? Those green and red
poinsettias.
They got those all over the church. And everyone's in a festive mood. How? What? You're in a festive mood? How do you do that with all the stuff that's been given a pass? A festive mood. How do you do that? Oh boy, let's sing Auld Lang Syne. You want to sing Auld Lang Syne? Are we really going to get to that point? We're going to be there when the ball drops at Times Square. Why? So we can have a ritual sacrifice? So we can have some killing right as it hits midnight? And then, no, we're going to celebrate. And the next day, we'll have brunch. And we'll all get together and watch the football game. So my question's always been, how could they, on the one hand, cover all this stuff up, on the other hand, go watch the football game and tailgate? They take RVs like this and they go tailgating with them, right? They take all their friends, and then they got TVs out there, they got barbecue going in the parking lot, and they're at the football game, right? Very Americana. And they're celebrating. They're drinking Bud Light, eating barbecue, dressing up like football players, and they're celebrating. They're celebrating the greatest human trafficking cult and murder cult the world has ever known. Yeah! Yeah! Maybe we should have a football team called the Pedos. And the other one could be called the Child Murderers. And the other one could be called the Abductors, and another one could be called the Riggers, and another one could be called the Hate Society, which I'm now having to brand the left.
Wow.
Well, here's the thing I don't understand. How come they can burn down places, burn cop cars? Because it's all the left, right? There's nobody that would be a, you know, say a Republican, a conservative, a constitutionalist. None of those people have ever done any of that stuff. So my other question is, how can we allow them to burn down everything in our society and scream and cry and moan and do every illegality there is, and there's no reaction? But if somebody stood up for themselves or said something like, you know, I don't like this racism or something to that effect, they suddenly are guilty of a hate crime. What kind of a world do people celebrate murdering children? And then that's what we call Christmas, right? That's the murder of children. You know, you're murdering them mentally, physically, sexually, philosophically. And that seems to be the business of America, that we're just to murder. If we can't murder our own children, we'll go murder someone in Afghanistan's children or somebody in Iraq. We'll murder somebody. So that's, you know, those are the concerns I have. Oh, it's okay. They'll never be resolved. It's never going to be okay. I look at the, just the, your basic kind of Americana people that have, like, trailers and RVs. And, you know, some people have, like, I saw a guy coming here with a casita. We had a casita at one time. Little egg-shaped.
About a week.
And we couldn't fit with one dog, with Molly. We couldn't fit. The three of us could not fit in it. Literally, we found some remote place to camp that had no power, no water, no nothing. It was just like we drove it into the jungle.
By the river in
New Mexico, yeah. And we're getting eaten up by bugs. And it was just a completely miserable experience. Anyway, we kept on to the next one. And we went from there to a bigger trailer, to a 27-foot trailer. And went on a trip with my daughter. We've had some interesting times, and we've gone. We'd have a mix of, and that's kind of like what I do to get a pulse of the country. I sort of like I can see it here where we are now. There's a lot of people around us, and I'll be damned. They just all seem like they got Christmas ornaments and giant Disney characters the size of, you know, the Pillsbury Doughboy. You know, and I'm. Lights flashing on and off in the windows of their RVs. But RV is a very American thing to do. It's a very Americana thing to do. It's like a motorcycle. You know, it's like a last bastion of freedom. It's the illusion of freedom. And so my take of it is that, I mean, am I wrong? I'm seeing just a random sampling of people around suddenly immersed in a lot of people around. All staring at me backing into this place like I couldn't do it. You know, one, you know, the drama, maybe you'll hit something, maybe something will break, maybe, it'll, you know, right? Okay, that's just basic human nature.
No,
okay.
I don't think they were thinking
Oh,
that.
I think so.
Come on.
But then as I'm taking a little inventory, I'm seeing how people cope. They're getting involved in the minutiae of something. And like I say, they have Christmas ornaments, which I don't, that's kind of frightening, but because they really go more at it than the kids do. You know, these are adults, these are old people, some retired people, gray heads, you know, and they have all their, like I said, their Christmas ornaments out. And it's absolutely horrifying. And I started thinking that in the trailers, I could see a pentagram. And then all this witchcraft going on while the Christmas ornaments are out front. And then I realized, oh my God, have we stumbled into this? You know, are all the RVers really Satanists? And they have pentagrams in the middle of their coaches and their trailers. And they burn in the candles at 3 a.m. when I'm out here praying and trying to be sensitive unto the Lord, you know, and try to put forth a solution. And then I realized, you know, these people, along with psychotronic weaponry and things, they're actually trying to make me feel bummed out in the pit of my stomach. You know, that ELF wave makes you feel, oh, like that. It makes you feel like that. And I'm starting to think that that all these Christmas ornaments and all this sort of minutiae, all this kind of like ritual behavior regarding RVs, because I don't follow any of it. I just do what I want to do. And then they're horrified. You know what I mean? You do what you want to do. You're a little bit loud. You're having fun maybe. You got a smile on your face. They hate that. No, everyone has to be kind of zombified around here. And I ask you, well, why? The answer is because they're all traumatized. Why? Because they covered up all this stuff. There's your answer. Because, again, because they covered up all this stuff. So they're traumatized as they're getting into their golden years. Not so golden at all. A lot of these trailers are falling apart. Cars have gotten old since they hit the road. A lot of these people here, they live in their RVs for life. They traded their houses and their, you know, for freedom. And now they act like, or they seem kind of zombified. I mean, their children playing. Their children, there's like a pool. They're playing over at the pool. Their little beach area, they're playing on the beach. And there's this distraction with the kids, you know, with all the kids playing together. And I know kids will be kids, so they get together with other kids. And then they race around their bicycles. And, you know, they got all that kid energy. So there's that. And then, you know, dad getting out there with the old barbecue. And it's, you know, it's a whole thing about getting away for Christmas, on the Christmas vacation with the kids, to go set up camp somewhere. And it's a really inexpensive way to get away. You know, it's a really, as far as an alternative to a vacation house or to a, you know, to a hotel, it's a tremendous savings if you've got this RV and, you know, you're able to take the missus and the kids and go out there and then everybody plays with every, it's a great American pastime, but I'm not sensing the cell. I see all the rituals with the big characters and the glowing lights in the windows of these RVs. They're blinking on and off and people kind of trying to get in the Christmas spirit. But I think, if I may, unless and until we actually get some kind of investigation going as to what the underbelly of our society is involved in, I don't think these people are ever going to be more than zombies. Or, you know, if I didn't, you know, at least try to go to the truth, I'd be one too. If I didn't spend my time grappling with it, right? I'm grappling and it's making me feel anxious in the pit of my stomach and kind of like I'm worrying about other people, you know, and worrying how I'm going to get screwed tomorrow or, you know, whatever. I know all those kind of negative thoughts are things I must, the Lord has commanded me to get rid of. Hence, now we are front and center with our subject today. By the way, Kunita is I see he's going for a communion on Christmas Day.
Christmas evening.
Christmas evening or morning?
Evening.
I thought it was morning.
I think evening is
a communion service. So I want to draw your attention to that, and that's if you're so inclined, you know, to tune in. It's always good to have that kind of fellowship because that's still a mysterious sacrament that we have that we can do that helps us also to get out of the worrying. Now, let's talk about getting high on God. You know, the Jesus freak thing applies. We must find something to get high on. Because, see, alcohol and drugs won't do it. Honestly, they will just lead us into a downward spiral of a man spiral. Man spiral. In other words, the concerns of man. Drugs are all about the concerns of man. Oh, I feel good. Oh, I feel high. Well, I don't want to think about I don't want to think about how I feel. I don't want to just go blotto with some sort of, you know, alcohol and just be, No. You know, because that's then a reaction to the whole thing that is making me miss time. No, I don't want that. I want some kind of absorption where I'm not thinking about anything. I'm just absorbed in it. I'm just going down that road. There's a nice guy here next to us who basically was saying, anyway, I'm going to open that.
Oh.
A nice guy next to us here was saying that where we are right now, it looks like the city's going to bulldoze the whole thing.
What?
And make it a bird sanctuary. Yeah.
No.
By 2020.
The birds are fine. They're all around.
They're going to bulldoze. They don't like RVs.
Oh,
RVs aren't paying enough in taxes. RVs are ugly.
Birds don't pay any taxes.
The point is they're going to make it an estuary.
The birds are just fine.
This place is going to be gone. Just like dogs are not allowed on the beach, except a dog beach. even if you have one on a leash, you have to keep it off the actual sand. In L.A. County, for example, you have to have the dog. They can't even be on the sand in, like, say, Playa del Rey or something. They can be on the boardwalk, but not the actual sand. This is how psycho the left is. I mean, because, you know, our people, the left, the progressives, I guess you call them. They're the ones that they switched all the laws so they, because they don't like dogs. They don't like RVs. They don't like any activity that would be
beneficial to humans.
Yeah. But that's another subject. So, you know, where you are now, you can just kiss it goodbye. See, here's the problem with RVing, you know, with people getting together and going wherever they want to go and hanging out with who they want to hang out with and whatnot. It's too much freedom, Trish. Someone might actually enjoy themselves or, you know, take off on a road less traveled. Someone might actually go use a state, county, or national park and go pitch a tent. You know, that's bad too. Someone might bring their dog to where they're pitching a tent and under the big redwood trees up in Sequoia, let's say, or Yosemite, and eventually that needs to be eradicated. Free speech has been eradicated. So you have a guy like Obama now. He's moving to Washington, D.C., right next to Tony Podesta, his good friend, because they have a lot in common. Oh, I feel like throwing up suddenly. And they have a lot in common, so he wants to be there to sue the Trump administration whenever Trump starts to do something against one of his anti-human policies, or if Trump expresses any need for freedom or any kind of economic recovery. They want to make sure they stop that. So they got Janet Yellen to put the interest rates on to make sure to stop the stock market from going up, which she stopped it pretty much cold now. And now they want to punish it and make it go down so we don't have jobs for people. Make sure that people are as dependent as possible and overcome Trump trying to empower the individual. Say what you will about him, he is about empowering the individual. That is exactly who he is. He is not a collectivist. He is about you having a job, me having a job, or you the freedom not to. If you don't want to work, then don't work. But, you know, it's there if you want it. I like the idea about being inspired again. I started thinking about, some crazy things. I thought, well, what if we had like a RV park? And what if we had, I started thinking, you know, like an entrepreneur about various ventures. I wasn't thinking this way for years and years. But with Trump, I was thinking, hey, I wonder how many people are thinking about starting a business. I wonder how many people are thinking about starting a going concern, you know, just out of wanting to do something or pent up demand to do something. A lot. So they got the Federal Reserve, you got the Obamas who are really pissed off right now, and they're passing everything they can to make sure they prevent any kind of economic growth, any kind of prosperity, and to call this anemic thing somehow good, and to just keep fucking with your mind until finally you can't, you're like these people here, like a lot of them, you know, complete zombies. To make sure that you have, I know I said the F word, but I couldn't think of another word right then. It's effing with your mind, right? I mean, trying to make sure that you say, oh, we have a wonderful country right now. We finally have a country I can be proud of. A country that, you know, has no white people and, you know, they've been silenced and the reparations are on their way to the black people for stuff the white people didn't have anything to do with, and, you know, finally taking responsibility to make sure that we don't have any kind of, free speech, and we have all these privileged people making sure they don't exist, and having our program of genocide to get rid of white people, having our program of economic slavery, so we put everybody on a certain minimum wage. No possessions by 2030. We're on track. No more air conditioning. No more anything. Because you need to understand, you're a blight upon the earth. I can have a big airplane. I can have a giant business and corporation. But you can't. Not you. This is the, you know, USSR now. You're under my command. You do what you're told. So that's, I think, what the problem is with Americans trying to feel like America again. You know, trying. I see them in their RVs. And, you know, the very American, even ugly American, having their barbecues, their kids running around. But it's not the same. There's something very, very wrong here. And I can tell you what it is. It's the fact that everybody knows that this is nothing. Everyone knows this is a lie. Everyone knows it's a sham. And they're just kind of trying to whistle by the graveyard, get by another day in the hopes that they can just get through Christmas or get through New Year's or get through the next thing. But everyone, they're worried sick about everything. And because of that, they have no... They have no future. You know, they have no hope. They're not starting any businesses. They're not getting ready to do it. You know, they're still under this siege of these three or four people that are just feel that we all need to kowtow to Soros and kowtow to Obama and kowtow to these people and enslave ourselves for the good of political correctness and all this other stuff. And the kids coming up not wanting any possessions and not wanting any going concerns and the elimination of small business and the elimination of free speech and the elimination of anything decent for people. And certainly the elimination of these RVs because they represent too much freedom. Look, I think the only thing that's going to really give us a decent day, you know, I don't believe, if someone says I had a great day yesterday, like I read this airhead that's on Fox News, her name is Kennedy. She had written a blog or some kind of thing. I don't know how I found it. It was like on Twitter or something. And she says she just ate a bagel at a certain place. Pinch me. I think I'm in heaven or whatever. You know, this kind of attitude. I'd be like, this airhead attitude. Where did you, how does it work? You know, everything is just magical. Everything is wonderful. How is it wonderful, Kennedy? How is it wonderful? Anyway, for those of you who are conscious, just heads up, that woman is not conscious. She's not aware. Or she is suppressing all this truth that we know about, which is untenable, and it's impossible for us to understand. We cannot go day to day knowing what the truth is. All right. See, that's coming on because that boiler heats things. You know what I mean? It's so there you have that. So I'm going to solve it here today. That's what I'm going to do. We need to get high the same way that they all got high, the Jesus freaks got high on Jesus back in 1969. We have to become absorbed into the moment of the spiritual walk. We have to just not ignore or suppress the truth of all this, but somehow transcend it as a process of good and evil. Neither one of which applies. Neither one of which will bring you to the state that you're looking for, a state of grace. Neither good nor bad of man will bring you to a state of grace. Being good, having the good, and ignoring the bad is going to bring you to a state of inner conflict and anxiety. Having the bad, ignoring the good, is going to bring you to the same exact state. I want to tip to the negative side. Eyes wide open will bring you to a complete negative state of depression and anxiety. Suppression and denial of the truth will bring you to temporary loss of time. In other words, whatever you're engaged in doesn't count because you're not there to be engaged. Therefore, it negates you. You don't exist. Which then is depressing and untenable. So how do we live then? How do we go to the next level? How do we sit in this and not just tolerate, but actually thrive in their situation? And the answer is complete total absorption in the spiritual realm. Now, how do you get there? Well, it's more than praying. You know, prayer is very necessary, but it's more than praying. It's of course, not worrying, but it's like going into a time space now that where nothing is future, nothing is past. All things giving to the Lord. And I'm telling you, I have a glimpse of this because I gave some stuff to the Lord yesterday. And I really had to, because I was really starting to worry about stuff that I couldn't do anything about anyway. I just have to, you know, give it to him in prayer, because so many people in your life and my life could screw us if they wanted to. So we have to give it to him in prayer to get through that worry. So that's what I'm proposing for 2017. Is that we absolutely lose it, lose ourselves in the Spirit. And what should ensue is giddiness. Giddiness that comes from being in the spiritual realm and not the physical. We have to leave the physical. We have to, it's too much. We live in a society that preys upon children and kills them. I mean, how could you go, oh, America, no. Not unless you're psychotic. Now, for these other people that do that, wave the flag and so forth, the thing about them is they don't believe there's any such thing as a world the way that I've described it, a world that just preys, where the dead prey upon the living. That would kind of tend to ruin not only this day, but every day of your life. In fact, you'll wish half the time you were never born because you know the truth. Now, that should not be the reward for knowing the truth, of you just wishing your own death every single day, every hour of every day, every minute of every hour of every day, every second of every minute of every hour of every day, wishing for death, wishing it was not, wishing it could be different, wishing it wasn't this, wishing it was something else, wishing that this whole thing didn't exist, wishing that the bad people would pay, wishing, 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 never, never, never getting, ever. And you can see the reaction to the Trump effect already. You know, he's bringing some jobs back, bringing economy back. There's already a bunch of people, a bunch of corporations pledging jobs, wanting to get wanting to expand their operations here, and they're doing everything they can to stop it. Look at who your enemy is. My enemy are basically not just the Democrats, but I mean anyone who thinks like them, progressive, whatever. Is my mortal enemy, and we are in a locked war unto death. I understand that. Though there is no going back. There's no welcome mat here. And there never will be, because these are people who hate my Lord. These are people who hate my God. These are people who hate life. So, you know, these are people who made a decision to, for the rest of their lives, pursue hatred and then call the other guy the hater. To pursue anti-life and call the other guy the anti-life. To pursue enslavement and call the other guy the enslaver. To hunt down Ivanka Trump on a JetBlue plane and start screaming at her, feeling they have the right to scream at her because her father's an asshole, according to them. Then you ask them, well, what did he do? And they can't think of anything. Well, he tweeted out some mean tweet. So yeah, what do you say? He didn't like thank you Anthony Weiner, or made some jokes or whatever. Absolutely disgusting and despicable. They are your enemy too. But they never used to be the enemy. Now they are the enemy. Just like your garden variety Satanists are all pedophiles, so therefore they'd be the enemy too because of that. Because they're child sacrificers and pedophile, therefore Satanists would be the enemy. Therefore, I would never let a Satanist hold a position of office or power because I know what they do. Therefore, you know, they would be eradicated. Oh, no, not here they're not. Where's your tolerance, you hater? It's sort of like, well, my religion is cannibalism. Well, you should be allowed to practice that in America. And so, no, again, you cannot relax. Anybody who is relaxed is is psychologically malfunctioned. Anybody who feels good is psychologically malfunctioned. Anyone who thinks they have some kind of a goal in life is psychologically malfunctioned. Anyone who is sitting in their hovel, miserable as can be, wishing for the end just to end this whole nightmare, is actually psychologically real, intact, and normal. So here's the answer. I got to play this little tune here for you. I don't think I could do it better than that. I mean, it's just, we need a solution. We really do. And you're going to get one. Believe me, you're going to be able to sit back, get your popcorn, watch them all do each other in. There will be that day, I promise you. So, here's the thing. It's still possible to overcome this stuff. In the spiritual realm, as the song says. We come from the spiritual realm. In the spiritual realm, there is no pain, death, sorrow, all this stuff is gone. And when you're spiritual, meaning very positively charged, you are the light. You're the solution to everybody's gloom. I mean, all these people around here, they look like, we look like we're at a freaking funeral around here. They're all hiding in their little coach.
No, they're not. We're hiding in ours, if that's the way you want to look at it.
Well, I'm not hiding.
Well, I don't think they are either.
What are they doing in there?
When I knocked on the door,
they have a pentagram.
I asked that woman.
She had candles and a pentagram.
No, she did not. She had a little dog. And oh. She had a big smile on her face.
See, that's the thing, the little dog.
And
that's
she,
the clue.
Right I asked there. Her, I said, hey, can you move your car for a while so we can back in there? And she said, oh, yeah, sure, no problem. She jumped right out. You got it?
She's a very nice gal.
She didn't seem like she was hiding. She was staying out of the rain. Yeah. Come on.
Are you sure?
Sure.
Well, okay, you may be right. I may be just really traumatized from the past and being triggered by having not being able to be around groups of people and not being able to handle it because of the, you know, everywhere you look, there's some kind of... I mean, I had it all squared away, Trish. And then all of a sudden there was the Podesta emails. And then I got triggered to out the, you know, wazoo on that one. That triggered the hell out of me.
What really triggers me is that the legacy media, the mainstream media, they won't even acknowledge it, what the content is of those emails. That's what bothers me.
Well, no, that's even more horrific, the idea that they're in on it.
Yeah.
They're in on it. So we need justice, right, folks? We need justice, yes? And we're not going to get justice unless somehow the laws of karma apply, which the Lord said do apply. God's no respecter of persons. What you sow, so shall you reap. So I think maybe this is the time of their reaping. It's a time of recompense. It's time of the fulfillment of Psalm 37, Psalm 91, and other things. But yeah, it's total absorption. You know... Just like, sorry, I made a thing there. Total absorption, right? Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly prognosticators stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be stubble, and fire will burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it. Thus shall they be unto thee, with whom thou hast labored, even thy merchants from thy youth shall wander every one to his quarter, and none shall save thee. And I'm going to another. Yes, get down there. Thank you. For the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Blackmail is one of the delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven crying, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. So I'd say you're in pretty good shape, you know, that when you know that people reap what they sow, God is no respecter of persons. But beyond that, we have to, you know, the Lord will bring the recompense. We won't. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. We won't. But I think because without justice, we can't really be anything but triggered PTSD victims, really. The only escape, like I say, is in the spiritual realm. In other words, like whether you do, let's say you do music. A lot of you do music. You just have to turn off whatever you've been doing in that regard and start anew without worrying. If you're worrying about what someone's going to think or whatever, you're doing it wrong. Same thing if you're going to go fly a kite. Same thing if you're going to go walk on the beach. Same thing if you're going to go to a restaurant, whatever. There just has to be this other head, this high, that you have to get high. You've got to be high, not plugged in like worrying, but into the now, into the present moment, which is the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the now, the now. And in that realm right now, we go there right now. I pray we all go into the Holy Spirit right now, that we are just in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. In that Spirit right now, there is no pit of your stomach thing. There is no, I know it's hard to stop worrying about the gang stalking, but there is no gang stalking. There is no financial collapse. There is no disease about to get you. You've just transcended it all. Whether you're about to be God or not, doesn't matter. Death is birth. Pain is joy. Worry doesn't exist because there's no future, no past. Seriously, there isn't. All we have is right now, this moment. There is nothing. Plus, the other thing is time is a healer. You give it to the Lord, He will fix all the problems. That you're not going to be able to go talk to those people and fix it. You can't go, you know, do this or that with other people and fix it. They're waiting for you. Give it to the Lord. He fixes it, and then you deal with it when you get there. Some of you are worried about, that's a worry I don't have, but you worry about Christmas dinner, family, solving problems. Okay, I beseech you. At this point, to throw all that out the window. You have no worry. You don't need to get anyone any presents if you want, or if you do, get them. I mean, do whatever you're going to do. But you have no worry. There is nothing to worry about with these people. Okay? There is no worry. There is no worry. There is no worry. There is nothing to worry about. There is no one to worry about. There is no reason to worry about anything because the future doesn't exist. All there is the present moment. all we have is this right now. So I propose silliness. Now, when I open up my mix, see, the Kelly has, I think, sent me in some, she produced a vocal track and some lyrics and melody for something that we call Tempest Blues, which has some blues roots and some rock and stuff in it, some elements, and it's pretty cool. I played it on this one, I played the guitar, and I played it on my old, well, it's not old, it's a 2014 Melody Maker, which I got because it reminded me of my youth. It reminded me of silliness. I used to turn, I had an amp, I forget what kind of amp I had, it was a solid state amp, I remember, but it acted like a tube amp in that you turn it way up, and you'd be able to sustain any note on that Melody Maker, and it would just be, you know, that psychedelic sustain. I really like it. I love that. Still can't get enough of it. Still love it. And this one doesn't play quite like that, but it's made of mahogany, so it's really pretty cool. It's got like a Les Paul cutaway, a single cutaway on it. 2014 it was made. That was the last year it was made, and I found one in a used one in a music store in Albany, New York, and saw the guy playing it on a video. And, you know, I got this thing, and it really made me happy. You know why? Because it reminded me of when I had no care. I had that Melody Maker, and then I decided to go to the drums, you know. And so I, you know what I mean? I decided to specialize in the drums, and I kind of let the guitar lapse. But you can tell I used to play. But no. See, I play good now. Because why? Because I don't worry, because I don't have any standard. The idea I'm playing guitar at all, right there, that's win-win. And I don't have that as my shingle out there, oh, guitar player. If it sounds good, it's already a miracle with me. You know, it's like play bass. Okay, I'll play bass. I play a little bit of a lead bass, but that's cool. You know, I love that. That's a late 60s style bass, Jack Bruce, and, you know, Geddy Lee plays a little bit of a lead bass. I'm kind of liking that, appreciating that kind of bass playing. So, yeah, so it's win-win. You know what I mean? I don't have any expectations, even when I play drums. No expectations. Why? Because I shouldn't be able to do those things. Therefore, there's no standard. I just keep playing until it sounds good. So I have this thing with the music that is very, very interesting. There is no pressure to conform to anything. What there is, and I've been hearing some older tracks that are very, very creative, and very, very free. I mean, ridiculous. What was the one called? Beyond Colors? Wow.
I really like that.
That goes into... I got a cap.
Some of the reggae stuff.
This was... Was this a reggae tune?
What was that one she posted yesterday?
A reggae tune?
Yeah.
Ego.
Ego. Yeah, I like that.
I love reggae because... Yeah, I'm going to play more reggae too. I love reggae because... it reminds me of the beach.
And it's happy.
It reminds me, it's like happy.
It's about God.
About Jah, yeah. I like the bass in reggae. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. You know, those kind of like bass lines. And they're really low end, but you can still hear them even on a little tinny radio. But yeah, because I play reggae in the truck when I have it on my radio. Called The Joint, and they play great reggae, and the reason I listen to it is because it, first of all, focuses on God, and somehow it's happy music. That's all I can say. But, you know, like the late great, you know, he said, you know, Marley said, don't worry about a thing. Everything, every little thing's going to be all right. That is exactly it. Now, if you happen to have a ganja with that, fine, I don't care. I'm not telling you what to do anyway. Or a glass of wine or whatever your thing is, I don't care. The main thing is the Lord spent a lot of time teaching us about worry. You know, I got a thing going on with my hand, okay? I haven't said anything about it, but I, you know, I'll say something now. Both my hands are getting weak, or something's wrong with them. So I brought my guitars with me, you know, my bass, because bass really have to push pressure on the strings, and I don't know if I can keep doing it, because I'm not able to get it. My thumb is you know, somehow it's just not really being able to grip on there. Like, and so I figured...
It could be arthritis, darling.
Right. So what I think I'm going to do is I have the guitar, so maybe that will help me keep exercising, right?
Yeah.
Developing strength in the thumb. But, like, if I grab something too hard or whatever, there's a great pain. You know what I mean? I have to let go.
Keep taking the DNA force.
Yeah. No, I understand. It's just, it's a thing of, you know, it's a function of age, right? I had a massage therapist working on the thumb, and, you know, like about a year ago, I noticed it. When, you know, she'd push a certain thing, and all of a sudden, I had to pull my hand away.
Wow.
Yeah. And now it just hurts.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's a kind of a crippling thing. And I'm not making a big deal out of
maybe
it.
Maybe you should... Do a little glucose.
Maybe we should just cut my hands off. Just take take a saw and saw them off. But so I brought the guitars because even though it's a little depressing. I mean, I've been playing with this little handicap because I think it's good to keep those muscles working. You know what I mean? Because when you play, you have to push in on your thumb on the neck.
We should start feeding you Molly's. Glucosamine.
Yeah.
I have a whole bunch of it that I ordered right before.
Yeah,
you
humans
died.
Take that, right?
Yeah, it's good for humans. Okay.
Well, and then with guitar, it's not as much, you know, but a lot of times I'll inch my thumb up over the fretboard too and kind of grab the whole and play like with my thumb, you know. So we'll see, but I think those are good exercises. That's why I'm playing more guitar and bass because I just figured maybe that will help keep this, you know, because you're having to grip.
Keep moving.
And also the sea air has helped, I think. You know, but, well, you know, if you don't want these kinds of problems, I mean, this is what happens to people. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to hide it, but I'm not going to go nuts complaining about it either because there's nothing, you know, this is just
life. We can help it with supplements, I believe.
Just got to make your mind up. It's not going to be an issue.
Yeah.
So... There's that, you know, there's those little things like, you know, the dogs now, like Dasha, when she would pull against me with the leash, she pulled it right out of my hand because I can't grip on like I used to be able to. And the leash just goes out. That's why all these people have little dogs because they're all older and they have. But one thing they're not doing, they're not playing music.
How do you know?
Are they?
I don't know.
There's some old geezer over there playing music?
Yeah, but they have.
Okay, so we got a bunch of I got to do more tunes from the road because I'm feeling very silly now, and I'm just wanting you to be encouraged and inspired to be in the spirit, especially when you're around your family. And you know how people can be so insufferable, and they're going to do the same thing they did last year and they're going to bother you. I don't have that problem because, you know, that's one of the benefits of being me. I don't have any ties. You know, I suppose if I went back to Italy, I would have my daughter and her festivities and all that to deal with. And I probably will do that. But here's the thing. If you're truly in the spiritual realm and you're truly grounded in the spirit, then you check it by saying, am I worried? And the answer is if it's yes, we're not in the spirit. If it's no, you're good to go. Then I would say the laughter of children, giddiness, silliness, fun, lightheartedness. You know, I love seeing someone do Tai Chi in the park when they're not thinking about anything else. They're doing their Tai Chi movements. You know what I mean? And they're all into that in that moment. That's what we need. Absorption. Gardening came to mind. Any kind of activity that can focus the mind on something, and that helps you to transcend death. Or like I could worry about my hands, let's say. Or my vision or whatever. I could worry about any number of things. But I could worry about Eli. I could worry about Mom. Well, Molly's gone, so I don't worry about her anymore. But it didn't do me any good to worry about any of this stuff. And that's been the thing that's bothered me. It's not that I'm ignoring the idea of evil in this society, which includes all the things we mentioned earlier. I must transcend good and evil into the light right now. I have to die to this concern right now. Not to be cold, but not to ignore the light either. I can't let the evil tether me down and make me ineffective in terms of other people. I can't. I'm more effective to other people if I'm a light rather than darkness, aren't I? I'm more effective at helping others if I am charged up by the light rather than the darkness, folks. So I know somebody out there is really into the pity party thing. And feel that they have it worse than everybody else. Nobody understands and all that. My heart goes out to you. I've been there a million times myself. But in every single time that I allowed myself to go there, folks, nothing ever got better by indulging. Right, Trish? Nothing. Nothing ever got better by indulging. And nothing ever got better by going blotto. Nothing ever got better by doing drugs. Nothing ever got better by, you know, pushing it back, shoving it down. There has to be this sort of God-given grace and transcendence that is available now in Jesus' name. Okay, so this will be another short message, and I just keep coming back with them because I just know what's going on this weekend. I just know how we're all feeling. What day is it today? Friday? Saturday?
I'm not sure.
Is it the 23rd or the 24th?
Let me look. It's the 23rd.
Okay, so tomorrow is Christmas Eve, and then Sunday, all day long, is Christmas Day. I do have a Merry Christmas song out there somewhere. I do not have it with me right now. But I have something silly. When I always feel silly, I always play the song More Spice. Right? And because it's stupid. It's one of the stupidest songs I've ever done. Plus, I did it on the road. I did it in a hotel room in Westwood, I remember, at the W Hotel. Out of the blue. And so I'm going to end with that. I pray right now for all of you to be blessed in Jesus' name. This blessing of being in the present moment, being like the Tai Chi guy in the park, nothing behind you, nothing ahead. I just pray that gift of the Spirit for you right now. It's a gift of being in the present moment and being truly at peace in Jesus' name. And I will see you next time.